I've got new voices today in studio, and we've got Kaylee Clifford as well as Tsiamo Malatsi joining us to help us get to the bottom of certain claims that have been made in the public arena through articles by politicians, through social media, and we try and get to the bottom of the facts and the reality through our bi-weekly conversations with Africa Check, the team from Africa Check. Hello, Kaylee.
Hi.
So what do you do at Africa Check?
I've just joined as a junior researcher.
Oh, right. And then Tsiamo?
Hi there. To your listeners, I'm a fact checker at Africa Check.
Fantastic. And of course, we have Kate hanging back today. So we've got three claims, and I hope that we can get to through all of them. Let's start with the really chunky, the big one. And it has to do with a piece that was written in the Daily Maverick by Marian Tam. And she was making a point to say that a litre of petrol costs more in South Africa than the minimum hourly wage. And we saw on Friday, President Cyril Ramaphosa signed the National Minimum Wage Bill. It's expected to benefit about 6 million people. It will come into effect on the 1st of January 2019. So people earning currently earning 3,700 rand and below will be impacted greatly by this particular change or the introduction of the National Minimum Wage Bill. But is there truth to this particular statement, Kelly? You've looked at it.
Yes. So, as you've mentioned, this was an article that was published with the Daily Maverick and written by Marian Tam. And Marian was basically commenting on South Africa's pre-election environment and saying how, you know, while South African politicians are gearing up to contest 2019 elections, ordinary citizens are facing some very real problems.
Yeah.
And one of them is that the price of petrol at the moment currently costs more than the national minimum hourly wage.
Mm.
So this immediately caught our attention, given the centrality of both of these topics to daily life.
Yeah.
We've seen both these topics discussed widely in public debates this year, several increases in the petrol price.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Parliament has been processing their national minimum wage bill. So we thought we'd take a look at how these numbers compare.
Right. So you contacted her. Did she cite a source?
She did, yes. She said that she was just making a very general comparison, so without any particular sector in mind, and using petrol prices from June 2018, so actually before the big increase in
that
October.
That put it up to, well, inland, because it's different across the country, or coastal and inland.
Yes.
It was 16 rand.
That's right. So that's one of the things that makes it a bit tricky, because it's not quite as simple as comparing two numbers. As you've said, the petrol price varies according to coastal and inland regions. And then, of course, according to type. So we've got 93, 95 octane unleaded and lead replacement petrol. So at the moment, you can expect to pay anywhere between 16 rand 49 at the coast to 17 rand and 8 cents a litre inland.
Phew, it's 17 rand. And we are hoping that the AA's predictions are going to bring us some relief with the reduction that they say we're likely to experience, hopefully, fingers crossed. So there are different prices then, but what about on the minimum wage side of it?
Yes. So as you've mentioned, President Ramaphosa has signed the National Minimum Wage Bill, and it will come into effect on the 1st of January next year. And what this bill sets out to do is it will set a national minimum hourly rate of 20 rand for all employees throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be the minimum below which no employee should be paid.
With exceptions, though, because I think farm workers and domestic workers.
Exactly. So although we have this new national minimum wage, certain sectors will be less. Farm workers will only receive 18 rand an hour, domestic workers 15 rand an hour, and workers in the public expanded works programs just 11 rand an hour. So,
right. So the comparison then, what is problematic about this comparison and how, maybe let's look at how workers are protected a little bit more on different industries and how they approach this question of that minimum hourly rate.
Yes. So when we spoke to the Director of Employment Standards at the Department of Labor, he explained, you know, the differences in these minimum wages, why certain sectors are getting less than others. And he had said that the sectors they've identified, domestic workers, farm workers, these are sectors that are very responsive and vulnerable to wage movements.
Mm-hmm.
Their concern was that if they enforce this national minimum wage without any flexibility, employers in those sectors might simply say, well, actually, we can't afford that, and they might just start retrenching people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this compromise between ensuring that there is a national minimum wage for these sectors, but not forcing employers into this position where they may not be able to pay.
Yeah.
So it's an increase on existing standards, and there are also plans to, within 2 years of implementation, bring those numbers up to the national minimum wage of 20 rand an hour.
Yes, and then obviously different industries have different protections in place or different mechanisms to protect workers.
Yes.
Yeah. So the comparison itself then is quite flawed.
It makes it tricky to come to some sort of final statement.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that although a litre of petrol currently is less than the proposed national minimum wage, many South Africans will continue to earn less than this.
Mm.
And when we spoke to experts about what this means practically and where it will have the biggest impact, we were told about a very interesting phenomenon whereby although wealthier households spend more on transport costs because these are the households that traditionally own vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to look at the percentage of total income that is spent on transport costs. And this is actually significantly higher for poorer income households. So it goes up to 20%
mm-hmm.
versus just 3% in wealthier households.
Even though as a cost, it's more yes. in wealthier households.
So it's taking a larger chunk of their total income.
Yes. What are some of the things that are problematic about this kind of perception or this kind of statement, especially in the lead up to something like the elections, which are really heated? We are seeing or expecting a lot of change,
yes.
To say the least. But, you know, it's a contested space. So to make a statement like that can be problematic and have implications.
Yeah, exactly. Which is one of the reasons why we wanted to look into it, because it's not quite as simple as was stated. And as always, context matters, right? So looking into the different sectors and how much they will be earning and how this will change in the future is definitely something to keep an eye on.
Mm. Kaylee, thank you so much for that. So these are numbers that are constantly on the move. Well, at least the petrol price is constantly on the move. So that comparison does not really hold water. Yes, they're close enough to each other, but ultimately it's not a fair one to make. WhatsApp says petrol per litre is more in Bloemfontein, by the way, 17.19 rand, as opposed to the 17.08 inland that was mentioned in the conversation. Now, I wonder why.
I'm actually from Bloemfontein.
Yes, Tiama.
Oh, yeah. I mean, things are tough in Bloem, I'd say. But I don't have an answer. But yeah, petrol's always been relatively more expensive where I'm from, yeah.
I wonder, is it about the kind of industrial economic activity that's happening there and where products and goods are mostly moving between?
Well, maybe
and,
Katie
the
can
cost
look
to get
into
it there. The cost of getting fuel to Bloem, I don't know. Oh, that's quite interesting. Maybe someone can answer that question. Why is fuel more petrol? And I assume that we're talking about 95 octane, or maybe even the others, 93 and so on, are more expensive. But from this example, or from the WhatsApp that we've received, it says that it's more expensive in Bloemfontein. Yes, it's about, what, a 10 cents difference? But why is it more expensive than, say, in Johannesburg and Pretoria? Maybe you have the answer to that. Let us know. We'll also try and get an answer to that. It's a curious one. So, Tiamo, you looked into another interesting story about the Chinese opening their own police stations in South Africa.
That was the claim, yes.
That was the claim. Where was this claim made?
It was made almost everywhere. I'm sure if you're listening to the show, you've probably seen it either on Facebook or Twitter. There were some people making analysis videos on YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm.
There were some news websites that also picked up the story and was spreading these images. And just to bring everyone up to speed, we're talking about images that went quite viral. There were images of a building and there was a banner in front with some Mandarin writing on commemorating the opening of some new center. There were pictures of the Eastern Cape Police Commissioner with two sort of officials or delegates, you know, Chinese people dressed up in what appears to be police uniform. And it was the opening of the center. This was an event in Port Elizabeth. So people took these pictures and they put it online. And the conclusion they reached is this must be a new police station.
Right.
And then that's just spread everywhere. So I'm sure, like, if you haven't seen these images, you just go on Facebook, you just go on Google and you search Chinese police stations in South Africa, you'll see these images pop up.
Right. Okay. So what was happening? Where did you start with this, with the look at this? I'm sure with the SAPS.
So actually what we do at Africa Check, and what every fact checker should do, I mean, you can fact check yourself some of these images, is you go to an image and you try and search for it on Google.
Mm-hmm.
You can right click on the image and a pop-up menu will come up and you can just say, search Google for this image. If you're on mobile, just hold on to the image, because most of us are probably on mobile, and you'll also see a screen will come up and we'll see something along the lines of, search Google for this image. And then Google will show you all the instances, articles, places online where the image has been used.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can debunk an image. In our case, we tried this. It didn't necessarily help us because it just gave us all the other people that are spreading the same idea.
Yeah.
So we actually spoke to two different groups. We did speak to the SAPS for the South African perspective, but we also spoke to the Chinese community themselves who had built the center, and we sent questions to the embassy. So we spoke to the South Africans and we spoke to the Chinese to try and get to the bottom of this.
All right. And what was happening on the day? What did they say?
What was happening on the day was they were opening the physical building for this center. And just want to explain what the center's about. We know what CPFs are in South Africa. You know, community police forms, people get together, they discuss ways to improve safety in the community.
Yeah.
This is just a form of CPF, but for the Chinese community. And they give it a complicated name. They call it the Chinese Community and Police Cooperation Center.
Whoa.
But it's basically like a CPF. This one is specifically just the opening of the building in Port Elizabeth. And it's very similar to any CPF that operates around the country, except what they do here is they allow police officers to learn Mandarin so that Mandarin-speaking Chinese people can report crimes. Or you can report crimes, or not report crimes, but you can collaborate directly with this center to help you report your crimes, which is still only going to happen at an actual police station.
Right.
So it's almost like a liaison between Mandarin-speaking Chinese community and the South African police. It's like a middle person.
Yeah. This is so interesting. Do we have these centers elsewhere in the country, or is it specifically just in Nelson Mandela Bay?
There are 13 of them across the country. If you think of every major city, Mahikeng, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Bloemfontein, Port Elizabeth, almost every province. In fact, every province has one. There's even one in Lesotho as well, because, you know, there are Chinese people across the country.
Yes, yes. Wow, this is fascinating. So, but the main the person that they're looking to serve is a Mandarin or Mandarin speaking person. Does it benefit the broader society?
So it's difficult for me to comment on that in terms of the fact check.
Yeah.
But what the community center spoke about is they work together with everyone to try and reduce crime in the area.
Okay.
But the bottom line is it's not a police station.
Yes, they don't have their own police operating within the SAPS. So this also says a lot about how these kind of stories without effective communication can just run wild. And I'm sure the police, hopefully they've taken note about how the wrong perception can be created if their communication is not the means that is leading when you let other people lead in sharing information.
Yeah, we actually spoke to an expert from the South African Institute for International Affairs, and he says part of the reason why this misinformation spreads is firstly, these centers aren't communicating adequately with people about what they're doing.
Right.
You know, the fact that this news story had to break for us to even know that these centers existed. Secondly, he says that as South Africans too, this sort of thing, you know, Chinese communities opening up CPFs, there's a lot more large scale engagements between South Africa and South Africa and China.
Mm-hmm.
And we aren't used to that yet. So until we get used to it, you're going to see a lot of these stories spreading about what the Chinese are doing in South Africa.
We've just discussed this claim. And literally, in this minute, this WhatsApp came in at 2:29 as we are talking. And it says, see, the Chinese are slowly taking over. And yet we are discussing this claim about what is true about it and what is not. So our sentiment and our perceptions can easily also override the facts, which is sad, which is absolutely sad. Well, we did have another story, but sadly we're out of time. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And that was Kaylee Clifford as well as Tiamo Malachi. And they are the new blood, the fresh blood within the Africa Check team. And we'll continue to have new voices, different voices from the team as part of our matter of fact conversations. And I hope that set straight a couple of things that you may have been concerned about that have been swirling about as far as public discourse is concerned. I'll share some of the other messages that are coming in. As far as the price of fuel in Bloemfontein is concerned, I wonder if there's anyone we can quickly try and get a hold of for a comment on this matter, because they're becoming more varied based after that initial comment that was made on WhatsApp.